The time has come. That's right. You can all breathe a sigh of relief. Because I'm back. And more importantly, the show is back. And what show is that? Two words. Video Nasties. Hello and welcome to another amazing episode of Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Thank you for listening. And yes, that's right. I am back. I spent the weekend in, I won't say where, but I spent it, with, visiting family, and it was great, and now I'm back in my car studio, my fancy car studio. The sun is shining, I'm feeling great. Just smoked some weed. I kind of took a weed break this weekend. I did smoke a little bit, a tiny bit, but I barely smoked at all the past 2 days, and I feel great. I really am legitimately cutting down. I think I just took like two hits, and I'm good. I'm done until tonight. Right now it's 2:31 p.m. and I'm recording this on Sunday, March 13th, 2022. And I am in an undisclosed location. What I can tell you is that I am inside my car. So, right now what I plan to do is read from my notebook a little bit. I'm a little overwhelmed right now because I almost, like, don't know what to say. I'm kind of, like, out of the groove, if you will, out of the rhythm of Video Nasties. And I also haven't been watching movies. I don't really have a lot to talk about on this episode, but somehow I think I'll find things to talk about. One thing I want to talk about is the Ty West movie X, which I've been seeing new promos for. Also, The Batman, the Matt Reeves movie. Those are kind of the two big movies coming out this month for me. The Batman is out. It is cleaning up at the box office. From what I can tell, it's on its way to becoming the highest grossing movie of the post-COVID era. Or the post-pandemic era, I should say. COVID, is on its way to being endemic. So, I will read, just weird to think about that I, like, lived through that, a pandemic, and now something that'll just, like, always be here on Earth. It'll just, like, be endemic forever. Well, maybe not forever. I actually have no idea. But, anyway, I'm stoned, so I'm getting into stoner philosophy. What I was going to say is, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I'm going to read you the article about the Batman, and I'm going to talk about X. But first, I don't know, I was just, like, just kind of chatting with my mom and just casually started talking about Kanye West, and I was thinking about the documentary, Genius, on Netflix, and then I was thinking about just the rise of Kanye West. Just in general. And I don't want to put this. So basically, you know what, I'm just going to read you from my notes and then I'll probably need to explain it. Okay, so the rise of Kanye West. First it was the beats. Then it was the music, and then it was just him. It was his personality. He got famous. He arguably had a similar trajectory to Quentin Tarantino. For Tarantino, first it was the scripts, or the writing, although now it's kind of the writing. Then it was the movies, and then it was just him. He got more famous than his movies. In a sense. You might hear someone say, oh yeah, Quentin Tarantino, you know, I've heard of him. What did he make? Like, they'll know the name, but they won't even know. They'll know the artist, but they won't know the art, which is backwards, in my opinion. But that's what happens when you get, like, actually famous. Which is, and to me, what actually famous is, now that I think about it, and this, looking at it in within this context helped me realize this, like, being actually famous is, like, when you're famous, like you, the person, you as a person are famous, like you are a famous person and you are a famous person and you get paid to be you. You make a living from being you. I think I got that from Kevin Smith. Like, he's like, that's the goal. Like, just for everybody. Get paid to be you. And he's like, that has actually happened for me, you know. And I'm, whatever, incredibly grateful. I don't know if he says it like that, but I would say it like that if I was in his position. I would say I am incredibly grateful. Like, but yeah, I mean, I would agree. Like, that is the goal. Like, just, you know, what's Quentin Tarantino's job? His job is to be Quentin Tarantino. And, like, that is me looking at it in, like, sort of, like, a weird fanboy paparazzi way. Like, from the artist in me is like, yeah, but it's like, it always comes back to the art. Like, you know, it all started with Reservoir Dogs, but like, really it was Pulp Fiction. Like, Pulp Fiction is what got famous, and then he became an icon because of Pulp Fiction. So it is kind of backwards to be like, it's all about him, Quentin Tarantino, when really it's all about his art, even though he is a fascinating person. It's like how the Strokes got more famous than their songs, or than the music. They, the personalities, became more famous than the music, or than their songs, however you want to word it. But it's like, I don't know, it's just kind of a similar thing. It's like, people know who the Strokes are, they know the band the Strokes, but if you tell them to name one Stroke song, most people probably wouldn't even be able to do it. But they know the Strokes, so it's like, you get to a certain point where you actually surpass what you've made, and then it's just you who's famous. Like, I guess, I'm trying to think of a better way to describe it. It's sort of like, I don't know, I was thinking about this a little bit today, like, when I first saw The Witch, like, and again, for me, it's always a little different, because I'm coming at it from the artist's perspective, but with The Witch, like, I went into it, I didn't know who the fuck Robert Eggers was. I didn't care. The more I knew about him, honestly, the less I would want to see the movie. He just kind of seems like an asshole, but I think he's a good filmmaker. I like his movies. So it's like, the movie The Witch is more famous than Robert Eggers. And it's not like a famous movie, but it's like the movie. Yeah, that's a bad example because that's like modern day. Nothing really gets famous now the way it used to. In a sense. I'm not describing this very well. You know what? I think I'm gonna move on. I think I'm gonna move past this. So yeah, I think, well, that's also, yeah, that's also a problem in modern society, is that people do look at the artist too much, and they don't look at the art enough, but that's a whole separate issue that I don't want to go down that road, and I think I have talked about it on previous episodes, so anyway, let me pull this up. I have some notes about X, because that's coming out on the 18th, so 5 days, and I will be seeing it in a theater. Shit, where is it? Oh, here we go. Okay, this is also from my notes. So yeah, I've been seeing, like, more promotion for it and stuff, like, on Instagram, and, you know, they're slowly, like, rolling out more footage from it and stuff, so it's cool. I am excited for it, but I don't like the genre of scary old people, okay? So this is an issue. I feel that this is going to be an issue for me in the movie. I don't think and this is sort of, to me, this is like a subgenre of horror, I'm realizing, and I've never seen one that I thought was good, or that I liked, or that I thought was scary. Having said that, let me continue. C, Exorcist 3, The Visit. Okay, first of all, The Visit, I think, does do it pretty well. I think it is a pretty scary movie, but I still just don't like... There is just something goofy about it to me, just slightly goofy. And I do think The Visit is supposed to be kind of like a dark comedy in a way. I don't think it's all supposed to be taken totally seriously. But it is supposed to be scary, and it is. And there is an atmosphere there, but I think that... for me, old people are not scary. I think that's what it comes down to. They're just not scary. You know, they might be weird. They might be creepy. They might be annoying. They might even be cute and friendly. But I don't know. It's just like, it's not scary. And it's not like cool and fun. Like, I don't want to run away from an old person. Most of the time, I just feel bad for old people. I don't see them as like a good monster, like a good... I don't know, good enemy, a good foe, it just, a good foil, I know, I don't know, I just, it just, that genre just doesn't work for me. Okay, so Exorcist 3 is good up until the reveal, and then it lost me. I was so disappointed. The old people are doing the killing? Bullshit. Yeah, so, I was really disappointed in that movie, because I do like the Exorcist 3 at first. I like the first, kind of... I don't know. I liked it for a while, actually. The first half, at least. And then... I mean, maybe even the first three quarters. Once the reveal happens, though, it totally lost me. I was... You know, and this is a spoiler if you've never seen Exorcist 3, but it's like... The old people at the asylum are doing it. They're the monster. They're the ones doing the killings. Like, that's the reveal. That's the twist. I just thought it was terrible. It might be, like, one of my least favorite twists. I do have issues with William Peter Blatty as a filmmaker. I have issues with Exorcist 3. I have issues with The Ninth Configuration. I have no issues with The Exorcist, though. The script is perfect. The direction is perfect. It's like one of the few perfect movies in history. No problems with The Exorcist. Okay. So now... Oh, no, that is X. Okay, so then X, the aspect ratio is 1.9 to 1, which is a strange aspect ratio. I'm interested to see how it looks. I'm interested to see if it's shot on film. If it's not shot on film, of course, automatically I'm less interested. I don't think it was shot on film. I think it was... If I had made this movie, I would have shot it on 16mm, no question. It looks digital to me. I think it was shot digitally and then made to look like gritty film stock. It just sort of reeks of that thing to me, and that really bothers me. But I still want to see the movie. Eli Roth gave it a recommendation. I like some of Ty West's movies. I still want to see it, and I'll go slap down money and plop my ass in a theater and watch it. Speaking of which, The Batman. 2 hours, 56 minutes. I don't think I could do it. I didn't realize it was quite that long. Or I kind of forgot it was quite that long. I'll watch it on HBO Max or something. I'm not sitting there for 3 fucking hours watching a Batman movie with Paul Dano as the Riddler. I'm not doing it. Okay, that was my note. That was my note on Batman. Now, having said that, I do want to just read briefly from this article. And it's numbers, it's money, so it's boring, but it is interesting. And I am happy for Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson. I'm happy for the Batman. I mean... Oh, wait, hold on, sorry. Now I'm on Twitter. Okay. So this is from The Wrap. And this is the headline. The Batman flies past $200 million at domestic box office. DC blockbuster will become just the fifth Hollywood film in the past year to pass $500 million worldwide by Jeremy Fuster, or Fuster. Okay, quote, Warner Brothers DC's The Batman is continuing its red-hot performance at the box office, adding $18.7 million on its second Friday, with domestic totals set to pass $225 million by the end of Sunday, which is insane. Though the Friday-to-Friday drop is 67% due to strong preview and opening day numbers, the Batman has a good chance of holding its weekend drop
to below 55% of its $134 million opening weekend. That would mark one of the best second weekend holds for any film since theaters reopened, and the best for any DC film featuring Batman since The Dark Knight. Yes, people, you heard me right. The Dark Knight in 2008. This result will also mean the Batman will become Warner Brothers' highest grossing theatrical release since theaters reopened after the COVID-19 pandemic began, having eclipsed the $400 million global theatrical run of Dune in just 8 days of domestic release, and soon topping the $468 million global run of Godzilla vs. Kong. Fuck Godzilla vs. Kong. The Batman is now on its way to becoming one of the highest grossing post-shutdown releases of any studio, fueled by the strong word of mouth for the return of DC's most popular character and its status as Warner's first theatrically exclusive title following last year's HBO Max day-and-date experiment. When it crosses $500 million worldwide, the Batman will become just the 8th COVID-era release and the 5th from a Hollywood studio to pass that mark. I think that's going to do it for me. My name is Maxwell Haddad. This show is called Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. I'm happy to be back on, talking to you fine people. And there will be another new episode tomorrow night. Peace.